You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck? It is a Washington Capitals podcast, and that means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on all of your favorite podcast platforms, especially Overcast, and we are a proud member of the Fans First Sports Network. Well, it is the Stanley Cup playoffs. We are in the quarterfinals, and the Caps are down 0-2. Although I got to thank Martin Ferravari for winning me $50 on game one. Really do appreciate that. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm not doing too bad. You can't really see it on the camera now, but I showed you before. I'm rocking my new Arizona Coyotes t-shirt. Rest in peace.
You're new?
I just got it. So it's technically new to me. And rest in peace isn't accurate. It's more like rest in stasis, where they're just kind of in a holding pattern, I guess, which is weird.
They're like Walt Disney.
But
they've been frozen. They've been put on ice.
Yeah. They're like, all right, you're going to put you on ice for 5 years. And if you don't get anything worked out with the stadium, then we're going to give you the old Yeller treatment.
Wait, so did you purposely like go on eBay and buy this shirt? Okay, you went on Fanatics. Was it like a mega sale that they were just selling all the gear?
It was a sale.
Okay, okay.
It was expensive, if that's what you're going to get. No, I thought it would be fun to have a shirt. I like the, I cannot remember the name of it at the moment, but you can see kind of like the logo. I always really like that logo. So
that was a cool
logo.
I thought
it would be fun to have.
That was one of the reverse retros that they actually kept around. I wish we would have kept around the Screaming Eagle. But
that would have been good. I think they're going to wait until after the Ovechkin era to switch anything up. Caps, that is.
Yeah, I still think it'd be a good idea. He started his career with the Screaming Eagle. Let him finish it with the Screaming Eagle. But that's just me. But let's get down to business. Let's not talk about the Ovi career ending. let's talk about how bad he is in the Stanley Cup playoffs and how it looks like the end, because we're two games in. First game, after it happened, was like, all right, you know, first good period. The second period, not the greatest. And I heard that Ovi was frustrated. He was slamming doors. He was, you know, an angry Ovi in the locker room. So I thought they'd come out game two, would be a different team. But again, Alex Ovechkin kept at bay, not really making an impact. And as we have said on a plethora of other podcasts, as Ovi goes, goes the team. So without Ovi making a huge impact in this series, the team isn't making a big impact in this series either.
You know, this series is, I mean, the way I look at it is, in order for this team to get through this series, and really to get through any series or to go anywhere in these playoffs, they were going to have to play perfect. Like, we've seen the goal differential stuff is a good soundbite. It's a good, you know, thing to throw up on Twitter or wherever else. But I don't feel like it's necessarily a fair representation of what this team is overall. Like, it is in the sense of, like, when they lose, they go hard losing a bunch of times. And that's why their goal differential is garbage. They didn't tend to win by a lot. They could grind out games and get, you know, one goal, two goal wins with that, you know, second goal likely coming from an empty net. But they weren't blowing people away. And every once in a while, they're getting blown out themselves. And I think that's what made the goal differential what it was. But I think in order for them to get through this series, they were going to have to be perfect. And they haven't been. Game one, they were nowhere near good enough offensively. Both 5-on-5, on the power play, they were not anywhere near good enough. And then with game two, they were really good at 5-on-5, and they were doing well on the power play. They were just weren't doing as well as the Rangers were doing. And so the reality is, if they're going to want to get out of this series with anything, even at least a win, they're going to have to step up all around. Everybody that's not named Charlie Lindgren is going to have to step up defensively, because the Rangers are getting far too many. We can talk about the referees in a minute, but they're getting far too many opportunities. The Rangers, that is, on the power play. They are giving them far too many good opportunities at 5-on-5. And to an extent, they're not taking advantage of the opportunities that they have. I mean, so far, we're only two games in, but we've got no points from Ovechkin, Pacioretty, Oshie, and Milano. If you want to win in the playoffs, you need secondary scoring. Or in the case of the Capitals right now, you need primary scoring. Their primary scoring guys that aren't Dylan Strom and Tom Wilson aren't showing up. And so if they can't get that, if they're going to keep giving the Rangers these power play opportunities and not take enough of advantage of the ones that they have, I don't see how they come out of this series with anything good on the ice. There's even getting swept, knock on wood, there's still plenty good for this team going forward in making the playoffs, right? This isn't a team that's going to win the cup. I think we all know that, barring, you know, just playing out of their minds for like 2 months, which is possible. Highly unlikely, but it's possible. There's some good things to get out of this playoffs, but right now, I mean, it's been a bit rough. Second game was better than the first, so hopefully they're getting better. I think the first 10 minutes of game three is going to be really important.
I agree with that. I want to say game one, I was really impressed with what they did for the first period. I mean, they came out, they were dictating the play. The Rangers were kind of chasing them the entire time. They had a really bad stretch of 2 minutes, 16 seconds in the second. And that's what gave the Rangers that chance to win with those goals back to back to back. So like, they came out and I wasn't upset with what they had done in game one. I thought there was some real promise there. The referees are definitely a factor here, but game two rolls around and while they are getting better at certain spots, there are certain things that these guys still aren't doing well. Like, scoring is just a big issue. And Alexander Ovechkin seems disinterested in this series. He doesn't seem like he wants to be a part of it. And like you said, secondary scoring, it's just not there. This is a team that I think can make the Rangers go to seven. I think they have some things to fix up. Hopefully that hometown crowd will help them out in games three and four to kind of even the series. We've seen a Stanley Cup winning Capitals team down 0-2 in a series. I think it was against Columbus in 2018. So this is not new territory for these guys. I'm not going to count them out until, you know, the Rangers have four wins. You know, I'm not, I fully believe, you know, if they win game three, the Capitals are still in it. But there are some issues with this team. They need to get better offensively. Charlie Lindgren, like you said, is doing a phenomenal job keeping them alive in this series. But I am very discouraged with what I'm seeing from Alex Ovechkin. And just like we saw with Barry Trotz when he first came in, he held Ovi out of a game because he was late to practice once. And I think Ovi liked that. I'm going to be honest, I think Ovi enjoyed being told, you screwed up, you're one of the guys, you're not this all-star, you got some stuff to figure out. And I think that Spencer Carberry calling Ovi out after game two is going to be a good motivator for Ovechkin. And I think game three, he's going to come out and he's hopefully going to prove Spencer wrong and show that he still got it. Because what we've seen in games one and two from Ovi is not the Ovi of old. It's more like old Ovi. And it's unfortunate. It happens to the best of us. But we want Ovi to be at his best. We want him to be involved in this series. And I'm hoping the kick in the butt from Carberry is going to be that motivation.
I mean, I think it's funny because the storyline about him when he earlier in his career, I think in the Young Guns era, was how he was uncoachable and he was a coach killer, and it's all been nonsense. Like, anyone that's ever coached him has had good things to say. Any one of his teammates he's ever had, even guys that played on opposing teams, rival teams that then came and played for the Caps, were like, oh, it's actually like a pretty cool guy and just wants to win. And so, you know, Carberry calling him out, I don't really ever have a problem with a coach calling out a player. It's always tricky doing it in the media because, one, we don't know how much a coach is using the media to his advantage and how much he actually means it versus being able to talk to that player in the locker room or in coach's office, in a parking lot, you know, whatever the case may be. So there are certainly positive motivations that can come from this. It's risky, though. I don't think it's the case with Ovechkin, but I feel like this sort of situation in general, it's risky because you can alienate a player where he's like, you calling me out in front of the press? Well, screw you, buddy. Like, I want out. We're not going to see that, but that's a risky move, I think, sometimes to take. And I have to hope that it's going to motivate him. I don't think he's been necessarily a passenger. I think we're going to find out that he's got some sort of injury after the series or the season is over. And, you know, who isn't injured at this point in the season? But I think that there is more going on that we don't know about, but I feel like those first 10 minutes in DC, he's going to be flying around the ice.
I hope so. And I hope Ovi's going to be what we know Ovi, what he can do. We don't have any news right now about Nick Jensen and Rasmus Sandin. I know Vincent Iorio has also been out. Last I saw of them, because today was an off day, we're recording this on Wednesday the 24th, this was an off day, but before the game on Tuesday, they were in non-contact jerseys at practice at the Devils facility, so time will tell if we will see them in game three. But Lucas Johansson had his first taste of the Stanley Cup playoffs. He filled in there. He has been up with the Capitals the last couple weeks and has not seen a lot of ice time, so guy was thrown into the deep end of the swimming pool, if you will, with coming out in MSG in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So this was a big stage for him. And that's the other thing. Like you said, you know, if God forbid, if the Capitals get swept and it's just four games in the Stanley Cup playoffs, young guys like Lucas Johansson, Connor McMichael, Henrik Lapierre, those guys, even Alexei Protas, those guys are getting a little taste of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it's good experience for them and the young guys in Hershey. What's the Hardy Hammond Octel? I think he just got brought up from the Hershey Bears. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I thought he was going to play.
Yeah.
Because Johansson's been sitting up in the press box for so long that you're like, is it a good idea to have him play in a playoff game, given he's pretty rusty? But I actually held his own really well. Yeah. I would feel bad for Hershey, given that we have four of their six starting defensemen with the Caps right now, or at least up in this area. But they're not, we're talking about this later, they're not playing right now. So it's not really a problem at the moment. But I got to say, I mean, going up against the President's Trophy winning team, best team in the league points-wise, a very good team. Don't take anything away. You know, even though things didn't work out here, Peter Laviolette, outstanding coach. And game one, not great. But it's a young team. You know, they have some older guys, but they have a lot of young players. They've got two defensemen out, two of their starting defensemen who play a lot of minutes and play important minutes on the power play and the PK. And they're kind of staying with them.
Yeah.
You know, my point is, like, let's say we're talking next week and we're doing our season wrap up. I'm not going into the offseason like I was, I don't know, 10 years ago, where the Caps should have done better, right? They got knocked out by Montreal. They were the President's Trophy. They're getting knocked out by Montreal or knocked out by the Rangers or knocked out by somebody else. I'm not going into the offseason being like, God, come on! Like, how is it we're still struggling to get over this hump? I'm going into the offseason going, all right, we got some pieces here. Like, there's things to look forward to. You know, I can start writing down guys' names and going, yep, I can see them being a part of this team's future. There are some other guys who I'm looking at going, I wouldn't mind if they were part of a trade package. So, you know, we'll see what happens over these next at least two games. But I feel like, you know, like you're talking about Jensen Sandin, we don't know if they're coming back. We haven't heard anything good. I think they're talking about Caps this morning. Maybe I misunderstood, but it sounds like there may have been a setback for both, either one or both of those guys in their recovery. So, you know, they may very well be done for the season based on how many more games the Caps have to play. But, you know, there's some pieces here and there's some aspects of next year in terms of salary cap problems that team is going to run into. I think they have, like, Russian Machine had put out a piece about this, but they have like $2.5 million in cap space that's going to be taken up by bonuses from this year, which is, you know, a thing I didn't even know about. So that's fun. But, you know, moving on from Kuznetsov, who's doing very well in Carolina, good for him as a person. I'm happy for him. He's loving life again.
He got the first goal of the Stanley Cup playoffs. You got to give it to him for that.
I mean, yes and no. He got luck of the schedule to an extent. like they weren't their first game player. Then he wouldn't have gotten it. But no, as a person, like, you can't see it from here, but I have a Kuznetsov, the bird celebration bobblehead. I have it turned around, and it shall stay turned around until he's no longer playing for a rival. but for him as a person, I'm glad that he's doing better. Anyways, the team has cap space. They're going to have cap space in the offseason. But I think these next two games are going to be a little bit telling in terms of who they're like, you know what? We got something here. Or a couple guys are like, they may need a little bit more seasoning. Or a couple of guys being like, well, that didn't work out. And they may be on their way out if we can bring in that mysterious top six winger that they've been looking for, you know, 2 years now.
Now, one thing that I think we're going to have a good discussion here, the refereeing, the officiating of these first two games has been atrocious. It has been absolutely horrendous to watch these referees mess up these games as much as they have. I think that they were extremely strict in game one, and I think that they wanted to set the tone because we know there is a history between the Capitals and the Rangers in the playoffs and the recent horrific acts of violence and all of that garbage.
It was 2021. Kind of recent. Was it 3 years ago now? The Rangers have like remade their team since then. Like Panarin's the only interesting that he was involved in something again. Although last time was not, I'm not going there. Sorry, continue.
Right. The referees wanted to make a statement as we're not going to let this get out of hand. This is not going to be a street fight. This is going to be a hockey game. So they were extremely strict to set the tone in game one. Now, game two rolls around. There's a lot of missed calls. There's a lot of unfair calls. And the blatant shot or elbow to the head, shoulder to the head to TJ Oshie, not get a penalty. Not get a suspension, nothing for that. I know I'm going to sound like a homer, and I'm going to sound like a guy who's just mad that his guy got hurt. But to me, I looked at that replay plenty of times. I see a guy winding up. I see a guy planting his feet and then moving his elbow up into the air, knowing Oshie's right there, aiming for the head. That's what I see. If that was Tom Wilson, he would be out until, you know, November of the next year because of all the games that he was going to be forced to miss. So for this guy not even to get a one-game suspension is laughable.
I tweeted this out last night in terms of how I wasn't sure how I felt about it. So I have it on my screen over here as I'm watching the play again. And Panarin's going for the puck at first. Like, you can see him looking, given I can't see his eyes, but right. His head is facing the puck. He's like, I'm going to get this puck away from Oshie. Oshie's playing the puck, so it's not interference. Right. There's nothing like that. Oshie has the puck, he's playing the puck. And as his Oshie's legs are kind of wide. I always find it awkward how hockey players always have their legs. It's like not like stiff, it's like this like awkward bend thing at the knee where I'm like, how are y'all able to walk when you're done playing? Like, I don't, it's like a GI joke. It's like the rubber band's just broken. Anyways. So he's coming, he goes and he's like, you know what? I'm going to hit Oshie. I'm going to knock him off the puck. Like I have no problem with the play itself.
Sure.
Right. Oshie's at the puck. He's playing the body. Cause based on where he's coming, like he could have gone for the puck. My guess is he knows that Oshie's going to try and play it around him. And he doesn't want to get juked. So he's going to play the body. Fine. Nothing wrong with that. He comes in. The elbow kind of goes out and then he does tuck it back in, though.
He winds it up and then fully extends that elbow.
Wait, what do you mean winds it up? Is there a wrestling maneuver?
No.
He's going to pull the elbow and then he throws it to the – no, we're not doing the people's elbow.
We're not doing the people's elbow. So, like, he's got his elbows out. He pulls back, so he goes the opposite direction of Oshie. So he holds the elbow across his body and then stretches out and extends his elbow towards Oshie's head. So, like, he went across and up to get to Oshie with that elbow. That's blatant. That's going for a target. That's having an idea of what you want to do and doing it. That is premeditated. That's the word I'm looking for.
Like premeditated. No, I mean, okay. So I have a hard time with this one because I think it's a penalty? I don't know. Because he's playing the puck. Like, is it a headshot? Kind of. But it's hard to see if the first point of contact is the head or the chest, at least from the angle that I'm looking at it right now. My thought is, in this play, it should be a shoulder-to-shoulder check, right? Not a shoulder to the front. But a shoulder to the front of the body is not an illegal play. You can hit a dude that way. In fact, it's very enjoyable to watch when it's your team not getting hit. You're doing the hitting.
Right.
I think if Oshie is standing, his head, it's like almost like Panarin's back, like by his nameplate. We call it a nameplate, right? Why did that sound weird? No, the nameplate's thing that goes over in the locker room. Yeah. By the letters, right? The letters on his back, almost that hits him in the face or the head. I don't know. I have a really hard time with this one. I can understand why it wasn't called as a penalty. I don't understand why he didn't at least have a conversation with the NHL. Like a suspension, maybe. If I feel like if I'm, you know, let's take Tom Wilson out of it because repeat offender, all that stuff. Like, yeah, let's say this was Beck Malenstein, right? If Beck Malenstein did this and he got suspended, I would be kind of mad because I'd be like, look, he's not trying to do that. This is not a play where, you know, he's going to play the body because he's going to get embarrassed if Oshie gets around him with the puck. And he didn't do it correctly. I think it was at least worth maybe not a phone call, a Zoom call or Skype. Maybe they use Skype. What's it called? WebMX or something? I don't know. That one sucks. Anyways, that WebEx, that's what it is. That one sucks. And maybe a fine, because I do think it was an avoidable hit. I don't think he had to do it. I don't think it was a situation where he was like going in to hit the numbers. I mean, hit the numbers. That would be bad. Hit Oshie in the shoulder or the chest, and Oshie like spun at the last second. And they're on ice, so it's hard to turn that quickly or stop. And then he hit him in the numbers, right? Like, it wasn't a thing where it was just kind of like, whoops. It was like he was intending to hit him, and you're allowed to. It's the NHL. But I do think it was worth a conversation, and I think it was worth a fine because he did hit him in the head, and that's a no-no. But going back to the referees, this play included, I feel like the refereeing has been 100% inconsistent, and it's allowed the players to get away with a lot because of this. They don't know what's going to get called and what isn't. And so they're like my children. They're testing the boundaries of what they're allowed to get away with. And the reality is, and we're Caps fans, but it feels like the Rangers are getting away with a lot more cheap stuff than the Caps are. There was the play in game one. Maybe it was Rempe's goal it was the second goal where Rempe tripped Malenstein. He had his foot. Now, Alexander Semin did the same thing to, maybe it was Matt Cook or someone else, or the other guy who I can't remember the name of off the top of my head, years ago in the playoffs, when it was like the Ovechkin and Karasi both had hat tricks in that game. It was the like Snowmageddon game or whatever it was, that Sunday game.
Snowvechkin.
So it wasn't even a playoff game. What am I talking about?
That was like February.
That was like February because it was Super Bowl. No, maybe it wasn't that game. It was the game, essentially, it was a crazy game. And like Alexander Semin 100% intentionally tripped the dual faceoff so Ovechkin could have a clean shot on net, and he scored. And Rempe 100% was trying to block Malice, and he gave him a little trip, little kick out at the foot kind of thing, so it slowed him down so that the other guy had a clear shot on net. Fine. There's the inconsistencies that are happening in these games that the players are taking advantage of. Does it feel like the Caps are on the short end here in terms of not getting the calls but getting plenty against them? Yeah, kind of. But they're also putting themselves in these situations to get calls made against them. So going into game three and the rest of this series, it's stop taking stupid penalties and stop giving the referees an opportunity to call them against you. And hopefully the Rangers start getting some more calls against them that they weren't getting at Madison Square Garden. I mean, that's what I want to see, is more consistency. If you're going to call, either keep the whistles out and call everything or put them away. But this in between, even like first period, they're calling everything. Second period, they're letting everything go. Third period, they're calling everything. Freaking pick one and stick with it. So one, as fans, we know what to be mad about. But then two, the players know what to expect and how to play the game. If you don't want there to be horrific acts of violence, if you don't want these players going at one another, then call stuff so they know they have to behave themselves, or let them play. But pick one.
I totally agree with you. I'm right there with you. This has been, it's been inconsistent. It's been rough, but I know you said to take Tom Wilson out of the equation, but I am going to say this. You know, he got six games this year because he made a mistake, and it wasn't, it was a dumb play. Control your stick. You're a professional. You shouldn't be hitting a guy in the face with your stick. You should know where your stick is at all times, but it's not like he just got angry and just swung at the dude and took him out. And he got six games for making that mistake. Did he deserve six games? I don't think so. Did he deserve maybe one or two? Probably, because it was just dumb. But for Oshie to get an elbow to the head or a shoulder to the head, and for this hit to seem, to me, premeditated, I think is just laughable. And it's why no one takes the NHL officiating or the front office seriously, because just like the referees in this game being inconsistent, the player safety board is inconsistent as well. So Coach Dan, let's talk about the rest of the series. We at least have two more games left, both of them in D.C., Friday and Sunday. What are some keys to the game to make sure that the Capitals can even this season or series out until they go back up to New York?
Get healthy players. Okay. The return of Jensen. No, I don't mean that in a silly way. I mean, like, the return of Jensen and Sandin would be huge. Stay out of the box.
A lot of penalties in the first two games. A lot of penalties.
Yeah. And that's been a theme this year, I feel like, with the scene. They've taken a lot, especially in the second period, I feel like. There have been a lot of penalties. What are we on? Third one. Power play was pretty good in the second game, but continue to have a good power play. And outplay them 5-on-5. Because if you can stay out of the box, if you can take advantage of your power play opportunities, and if you can be the better team at 5-on-5, you're winning this series. That's what I would say is my keys. What about you?
I'm going to say number one is Alexander Ovechkin. I know he's 38 years old. He's up there. You can't expect to get young, spry Ovi on the ice every single night, but Ovi, I need him to be a motivator. I need him to be an example in the locker room and on the ice. I mean, for him to get one shot on net in game one, that's like the beginning of the season, Ovi, that we were worried about, where he only had 8 goals up until the All-Star break. So Ovechkin definitely needs to get going. He needs to get working. The young guys continue to get experience, but we need that secondary scoring. It was great to have Connor McMichael get a goal and start it off where it looked like no one got a goal on offense in game one. To see him come out pretty early on in game in period one of game two and get a goal was a great sign. So I think these guys are working for it. 5-on-5 is very important. You need to make things happen. And power play. The power play needs to show up. Like we said, there were lots of penalties called in game one and game two on both sides. I think the Caps got a little bit worse than the Rangers did, but they had their chances on the power play and they took zero effort in there. I mean, Ovi gave up a puck and they got a shorthanded goal against them. So that can't happen. Use those chances on the power play and get a goal. You know, you're 5-on-4. You have an advantage. Just take that and do what you can with it. Now, I know, Coach Dan, you've been having some issues watching the games on the Monumental Sportsnet app. I know a lot of other people out there are also having issues because Verizon Fios locally has dropped the Monumental Sports Network. I know a lot of the personalities are on an ad campaign to call Fios and get something added, but that just means more money out of the consumers' pockets. But people that are using the app, I've heard, are not having the greatest experience in the Stanley Cup run.
So where shall I begin with this piece of crap that is the Monumental app? So on my phone, it tends to load, we'll put it that way. Okay. Like I can get it up and I can see the games, but the signal is, I mean, the stream is constantly dropping. And so I always end up 5, 10, 15, 20 seconds behind, if not more. I'm constantly having to close the app and reopen it, or, you know, mess around with the app to get it to put the game back on. I can go into my Verizon TV app or Verizon Fios TV, whatever it's called, and I can get it to work. And the game, it streams great. It's clear. They don't have the picture-in-picture thing, which is really annoying. The only thing the Monumental app has done well is have picture-in-picture. Because the NBC Sports Washington one did not have that, and it annoyed the bejesus out of me. Because I was watching on my phone, and someone texted me. I had not watched the game for a moment so I could respond to that text message, which was likely about the game.
Right.
So the app is borderline sufficient. When I'm trying to watch it on a television that doesn't, I don't have a cable box hooked up to. So I go on my Fire Stick and I download the Monumental app on there, or program, or whatever it's called. And then I load it. There's a couple problems I have here. One, it doesn't actually give you the opportunity to log in. At first, it just goes, okay, put your name in. Cool. I know who I am. Put my name in. Put your phone number. Great. I know that. I put that in. And which teams are you interested in? the Caps. I'm trying to watch the game. So then I go and I hit, you know, save or whatever. And it's like, well, someone already has is using that phone number for their account. And I'm like, I know someone is. It's me. I'm the one that's using the phone number for the thing because I want to watch the freaking game. So then I close. I literally last night I deleted the app twice and kept having to re-download it to try and get it let me. So then it finally was like, hey, do you want to log in? Log in on your mobile device or on a computer. And I'm like, I don't want to log in on my mobile device. My mobile device is letting me watch the game right now on the Verizon app because the Monumental app sucks. So I'm like, fine. So I go over and it's doing this thing where it's like in between the person and the modem and the or Monumental and the phone. I'm like, oh, we both have to be, I have to be on there to get it on here. Cool. So I go and I open the app and I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting and nothing is happening and I'm waiting and it goes, oh, you have to be on the same Wi-Fi. And I'm like, oh, duh. So I go, oh, I'm already on the same Wi-Fi for my phone thing. Fantastic. Amazing. So then I go and I'm waiting and I'm waiting. And I'm going to tell you, there's 5 minutes left in the game and it didn't load at all. It just kept doing the thing. And this is not the first time I've had this problem. This app is horrendous. It is a piece of crap. And it actually requires people to pay to watch games on there if you don't have, you know, a cable subscription or whatever it's called. So I don't like I normally I try to be like the happy, you know, I'll say like, oh, this team sucks or my team lost or that's really annoying or they play poorly here or whatever. But I don't go after like other things like a lot of people tend to do on social media. Like I have no interest in just putting out negativity into the world. Even though on this show you hear me complaining a lot, but but it's just god awful. And I kept tweeting about it thinking like someone would respond and be like, hey, I'm so sorry you're hearing me. I'm having a problem. What's going on? And I could be like, look, this is where you suck. And nothing. I got nothing all night. I got to get it was so frustrating. Like I'd rather go back to the NBC Sports Washington app because that one loaded and it loaded fine. It worked out just fine.
I think a lot of these local entities are having a really hard time with streaming because these are content providers. You know, they create television. That's what they're good at. Now, if you're going to go straight to the consumer, you need an IT department and you need someone to develop an app.
Yeah, afford it.
You need engineers and that kind of stuff to figure all that stuff out. That is not in anybody's wheelhouse. That's a brand new technology that's out there. So I think these
you can't hire someone from Disney.
I'm sure you can for a hefty price tag. So the sports leagues, they need to figure something out because as a whole, the NFL, the NHL, the MLB, they got to figure out the TV rights as well. They need to do all of that before I don't even know when, but they need to figure this out because they can today. Afford it
or tomorrow they can afford the Caps it. Are playing on Friday.
They can afford it as a league and they could do something where it's providing each of your team. Like you have one NHL app, you pick the team you want to root for, and that's how you pay for like the year to watch the games. But if these individual companies are going to come out with their own separate apps, and you got to pay for them, they're not going to be able to do it. As a Baltimore Oriole fan who has cut the cord, that Masson app is absolutely terrible. There are so many bugs. It is so hard to log into. It bounces around. It gets out of sync with audio and video because they're having people that don't work in television build these apps that they don't know the technology. It's that simple. Like it's a lot of money to get something to look right. And to, there are so many things you got to worry about with audio and video and live content and people's internet speeds and all that kind of stuff. There are so many factors of things that can go wrong. And these regional companies don't know how to handle that. They don't. They don't have the budget to handle that. I really wish that, you know, if this, what was it, Fox and Warner Brothers and Disney, they were going to come together and build this sports app where all the sports would be, that's how you get this done. You have all your sports in one central location, and it's all these different networks coming together to do that. And that's how you get this to work. But regionally, it's never going to look right. It's never going to work. It's never going to happen because it's too big of a price tag to get things to work properly. I mean, the WWE, who, you know, I love wrestling, they put out the network, and they were no longer just content providers. They had to do live, premium live events, which used to be called pay-per-views, every single month. And they were streaming that for $10 a month. And after a couple of years, they were like, we're not making any money. So they sold the entire library and the streaming and everything to Peacock, to NBC Universal, because it was easier to just create the content and give it to one of these providers than it was to be your own server. Because it's too much money and it's too much work. So that's what they got to do. They need to, as much as I hate big box stores, they need to sell it to Netflix or Amazon or whatever and say, exclusively watch the NHL, whichever team you like, on Prime or something like that. That's the only way it's going to work, because you need a billionaire. You need a billionaire to pay for that technology. It's sad, but it's true.
What is Ted and Monumental?
Oh, well, Ted's not going to spend his own money. Are you kidding? He wouldn't even build his own arena.
Well, that's true. The thing is, like, I don't know. Just get rid of the stupid app. Let everybody watch it.
Everybody wants their own cut.
Bring back home team sports.
Everybody wants their own cut of the pie. I shouldn't say that. Everybody wants their own pie. That's what they want.
Great. Now I want some pie. Thanks, man.
Dangerously delicious pies, man. If you haven't had that in Baltimore.
What's your go-to pie?
Key lime, no doubt.
Eat lime.
Key lime. It's the best pie and ice cream.
I'm not complaining. I'm just surprised. That's not where I thought you were going to go.
I know
where you were going to go. I just didn't see that one coming. Ooh, for me, it's pumpkin.
Pumpkin's great, man.
Ooh, pumpkin is freaking delicious.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty good.
Oh, wow. I just thought of this. So the dangerously delicious pie for the key lime pie in Baltimore was called the Key Bridge Pie. I wonder what they're going to do with that now, because that Key Bridge is gone.
But they're going to build it back. Rebuild it.
Dude, it's going to take like 10 years to get that thing built.
I'm not saying it's going to be quick. I'm just saying it's doable.
Eventually, but not anytime soon. I just thought of that. It's Key Bridge Lime Pie. Oh, wow.
I think leave it alone. You keep it that name.
As a tribute.
Yeah. So, the moral of this...
I will give credit, though, to M'lady, who makes the best key lime pie I've ever had.
I can't say I've had much.
You're not a key lime guy, huh?
No, I've had it a handful of times, and it's good. It's not my go-to, so I guess I don't have it very often, if that makes more sense.
Well, next time you're up in Baltimore, let's go to Dangerously Delicious Pies, best pie in the world, next to my girlfriend's. And they have all kinds of different ones, but they got like blueberry pancake pie. They've got pecan. They've got an amazing pumpkin. They've got key lime and any flavor you can think of. Sour cherry. Oh, it's so good. They should sponsor our show.
This conversation has made me gain 5 pounds.
They should sponsor our show with all the talk we're saying about dangerously delicious pies. But now I want the show to end because I want to go to Dangerously Delicious Pie and get some pie.
Yeah, right.
So anything else going on in Caps world?
No, I mean, I think the moral keys to the next game are really the biggest thing, you know, doing well in the power play, staying out of the box and fixing the Monumental app. I think that's the go-to move.
I like it. And go buy pie. All right. Well, go Caps. Let's make this go past Sunday, boys. Let's go to game 5, 6, 7, whatever you need to do. Let's not end it in 4. But that's it for what's going on in Caps world. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Down on the Farm.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
And that is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears, and that's it, because that's all that's playing right now. So, Coach Dan, tell us what's going on down on the farm.
Well, let's start in Hershey, where the Bears ended their regular season 53-14-5, putting them top of the AHL with 111 points, 8 up on second place Coachella Valley for the league. They earned themselves a first round bye, so it actually works out that the Caps have taken a plethora of their defensemen. Now they will get the lowest seeded team that remains out of the divisional round. So who that is, we don't yet know. The American Hockey League announced over the weekend that Hunter Shepard and Clay Stevenson are the recipients of the Harry Hap Holmes Memorial Award for the 2023-24 season. Now, since 1972, this award has been presented to the goaltenders on the team which allows the fewest goals per game in the regular season. And then on Wednesday, the accolades continued for Hunter Shepard when the American Hockey League announced that he was the winner of the Aldique? Brandon's not sure either. The Aldique Baz Bastian Memorial Award is the AHL's most outstanding goaltender for the 2023-24 season. And the awards did not stop coming, as Bears head coach Todd Nelson is the winner of the AHL's Louis A.R. Pierre Memorial Award as the league's most outstanding coach. So congratulations to those three, Shepard, Nelson, and Clay Stevenson. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, well, go Bears. Get yourself ready. The playoffs are right around the corner. What a record. What, can you say that one more time? What the record was for the Bears all season? What was it? 53?
53-14-5.
That's amazing.
That's crazy.
Like, for not even just like not even AHL level, like any sports league to go 53-14-5, that's unheard of. So go Bears. Keep doing what you're doing. Obviously, it's working. But that's it for what's going on down on the farm. We're going to take another break, and then we'll be back with Around the NHL and Beyond. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL and beyond. There is lots going on in the world of hockey, and I got to tell you, I had some fun writing these notes for Coach Dan today, because we are going all over the place with around the NHL and beyond. So, Coach Dan, catch us up. What's going on around the NHL and beyond?
Well, before we go beyond, and we are definitely going beyond this week, let's start in Buffalo, where the Sabres announced that they have hired, or rehired in a way, Lindy Ruff to be their next head coach. Now, he was their head coach from 1997 till 2013, and is currently the winningest, I knew I was going to struggle with that word, winningest coach in Sabres history. San Jose went the opposite direction when they fired head coach David Quinn and head athletic trainer Ray Tufts. Who Tufts had been with a team for like 20 years or something. Quinn had been with the Sharks since the summer of 2022. Philadelphia extended goalie Ivan Fedorov to a two-year $6.5 million extension. Cap hit comes to $3.25. Speaking of Philly, former winger Jakub Voracek announced that he was retiring after 17 seasons in the NHL. Now, apparently he had 12 concussions over his career, which is just insane. A seventh overall pick in 2007 with Columbus was then traded to Philly in 2011, where he spent most of his career. Now, his time with the Flyers, he played in 727 games, scoring 177 goals and 427 assists.
That's quite a career for him. He also had
a very impressive beard.
Yeah, yeah.
The Professional Women's Hockey League's duel at the top matchup between Montreal, because you put the little thingy in there, and Toronto marked the largest ever recorded attendance for a women's hockey game worldwide. The Bell Center in Montreal had a sold-out crowd of 21,105. Previous attendance record for a women's hockey game was at 19,285, set by the PWHL on February 16th, when the two teams played in the Battle on Bay Street at Scotiabank Arena in Toronto.
I love hearing about these attendance records constantly being broken, because as we can all say, we want women sports to get a highlight and we want them to be as big a deal for men and all of that. But unless fans support the leagues that are being created for women's sport, the sport itself will not advance. So we need fans to participate. We need fans to be a part of stuff like this. So to hear over 21,000 people came out for that game is a huge step forward for women's sports, for women's hockey. I absolutely love to see that. And yeah, that's the only way it's going to work, is if the fans support the women's hockey. And I mean, it looks like that's happening. So that's great news all around.
100% agree. And I'd love to have a team in our area.
Yes.
Jumping back to the NHL real quick, are you seeing this stuff about the Utah Hockey Club? I don't know if that's their official name yet or anything like that.
Apparently, they have a plethora of names.
Yeah, well, there's certainly those possibilities. But there currently are 12,000 people that attended an event today at the arena in Utah. And according to Nick Kotsunika, who is a columnist, I believe, with NHL.com, they now have 29,000 season ticket deposits.
Wow.
That is pretty impressive for a team that doesn't even have a name yet.
Yeah, but look at the pictures of that stadium. I mean, that is like a sold out crowd for a press conference. Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Let's jump over to the IIHF, where the U18 2024 Asian Oceania Cup started off in a rather thrilling fashion. I mean, normally we don't cover this particular tournament, but Thailand did something rather interesting this week. When you texted me this, I could not believe it. They beat Kuwait 57-0. That's a 5-7 next to each other. And then Kuwait had nothing. Thailand took 122 shots on goal and only allowed one. They had more goals than the other team had shots.
They allowed one shot the entire game. Like, it's bad enough you're defeating the team 57-0, but at some point, do you pull the goalie? Like, if you reach 50 goals, do you be like, you know what? Empty net the rest of the way.
No, you got to play down. It's a 5-on-4 the rest of the game. Now, in another match, Mongolia, who had narrowly beaten Kuwait a few days prior, they defeated India 32-0. I don't know what's going on over there, but if you enjoy goals, you can go ahead and find that Thailand-Kuwait game on YouTube. Now, this one, I knew you wrote this one. Shorzy, the hockey-centered comedy, announced that season 3 of the show will debut on Crave in Canada on May 24th and Hulu here in the U.S., or I guess Disney Plus now, on June 21st. And apparently in the trailer for season 3, the main character, Shorzy, berates an opponent during warmups for wearing number 98, saying, 98? get Bedard's number off your back. You, I'm guessing blank is fill in the word here. Hot dog.
So you don't watch Shorzy at all.
I have no idea what I just read.
My goodness, my podcasting, hockey podcasting friend, you need to watch Shorzy.
It's only three seasons. I've rarely the opportunity to watch TV.
Yes, you cannot watch this with kids because there are many expletives in this show, but it is so well shot. It is so well written. There are such good music cues, and it's all about this tiny Canadian town's local hockey team. It is so good. I am counting down until June 21st here in the States so I can watch the next season of Shorzy. It's fantastic. I absolutely love it. Watch it. It's only like 22 minutes an episode because they're only half hours. So they go by really quick. You can knock out a season in a weekend. But the show is great. I can't recommend it enough. I absolutely love it. You should definitely check it out, Coach Dan. And as long as you are older than 18, then you can watch it on Hulu or Disney Plus now. But it is great. Check it out.
Those under 18 don't know about profanity. Now, we were talking about Connor Bedard. He's going to be joining Canada's roster for the 2024 IIHF World Championship set for to play from May 10th to the 26th in the Czech Republic. In other World Championship news, two former Caps players are going to be at the Czech Republic League Tournament camp ahead of the IIHF World Championships. Jakub Vrána and Michael Kempney have the chance to represent their country next month. And we, of course, we wish them the best of luck on having a good camp and making that roster. And finally, the U18 Men's World Championship Tournament kicks off on Thursday. All of the USA games can be seen on the NHL Network. And as we remember, last year, Team USA won gold with a Ryan Leonard game winner. That's the news from the past week in the NHL.
Now, I sort of pay attention to like the U18 tournament. I'm not watching every single game. I'll admit that. But I like to keep an eye out just to see what's going on. I remember watching the gold medal game last year and seeing that goal from Ryan Leonard. It's a gold medal game winner. It's being impressed with the kid. And then to have him get drafted by the Capitals, I was so excited because I'm like, Ryan Leonard, why do I know that name? And then I realized, oh, crap, that's the kid from the U18 tournament that I watched because I did watch that gold medal game. And so if you are into watching some of these players that are getting qualified for the draft, this U18 tournament is a great way to see players that are draft ready. And that's, you know, they get drafted at around 18. So it's a good way to watch the future and potentially get behind a couple players that hopefully will join the Capitals. I think that's the show. Coach Dan, is that it?
That's it, buddy.
All right. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is send us a message over on X. You can follow me at Brando Cash on X. Coach Dan, where can people follow you at?
You can find me on Twitter at at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff. They'll be on there talking during game 3 and game 4. When is game 4? Sunday?
Sunday.
Yeah, game 3 and game 4. Also on there talking about Arsenal Football Club. Massive 5-0 win over Ryan's Chelsea yesterday, that being Tuesday. Fantastic performance. Oh, it was amazing. Anyways, on there also talking about the Bills and the Commanders. I cannot wait for this freaking draft, at least the first round, to be over so people can stop freaking out about who the Commanders are going to take and we can just get to complaining about who they take. And then we can move on and just get down.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Get down to business, right?
Just get down. Yeah, get down to business. Get down to it. Like, let's start playing some football. At this point, I just don't even care. I want them to take J.J. McCarthy just so everybody gets mad.
Now, I don't follow college sports, college football at all, so I don't know any of these players.
I don't either.
I will tell you, your two teams have a very good chance of affecting my team, the Ravens, because the Ravens are picking at number 30. So you know, the Buffalo Bills are going to go after a wide receiver. I mean, that's like,
that's
obvious because of their needs. So the Ravens also need a wide receiver, but they just re-signed Rashad Bateman. So there's a chance that if the Bills take a wide receiver right before the Ravens, that they maybe go offensive line. But since the Ravens are picking at number 30 and the Commanders have a pick very early on in the second round, there's a chance that they might want to move up to the first round again towards the end and maybe get themselves a QB or something like that. And the Ravens could move back if there's a plethora of offensive linemen or a plethora of wide receivers. And they think, well, these guys aren't going to go, you know, if we're only at like whatever the Commander's number is, 33, 34 in the second round. So there's a good chance that your two teams, what they do will decide what my team does on draft night, either Thursday
You're
or Friday.
You're welcome. That didn't even make sense. Yeah. So, yeah, that's finding us on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, or you can find Brandon at Brando Cash. If you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, the Hershey Cubs, and the National Hockey League. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, we were talking Commanders, Bills, the NFL draft. You were talking about the Ravens. If someone happens to be a fan of that certain purple-clad team based out of Baltimore, is there a podcast they should check out?
That's right. You can check out my Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call. We cover all things Baltimore Ravens. Before I talked to Dan behind the microphone today, I talked to my buddy Josh and got ready for the NFL draft. Both shows will be dropping on Thursday, so make sure you stay subscribed to What the Puck and listen to my Ravens podcast called The Call. Now, we do this show, and please be social with the show, write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and then let all your friends know. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. Potentially, there are only two games left. Potentially, it's all up to the Capitals to decide if we get more bonus hockey or not. So on Friday, April 26th, the Capitals are up against the Rangers in DC. First home game of the series for the Caps. That game is at 7 o'clock. You can watch that one on TNT, True TV, Max, or the Monumental Sports Network. And then on Sunday, the 28th, the Capitals are up against the Rangers at 8 o'clock at night, prime time. That game is on TBS, True TV, stream it on Max, or on the Monumental Sports Network. And then the Capitals, if they were to win a game and it goes to game 5, 6, or 7, that would be on May 1st, 3rd, and 5th. Of course, times aren't determined yet because we don't know if they're needed or not. But Coach Dan and I will be back eventually to talk you through it next week. We'll figure out what day works best for us because it looks like if there is a game 5, it will be on Wednesday, May 1st. Can anybody else believe it's going to be friggin' May next week? That's insane. But it's crazy. That is pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you all for listening in. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.